Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Nancy Armour has covered the NFL for a long time. She covered the Bears up close. She has been in those press conferences at Hallis Hall, so she's got an amazing perspective on all of this stuff. I'm not even going to mention that Marquette beat DePaul earlier this season, because that would just make Nancy happy, as she joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino, go out there to Las Vegas. They've got the best sports book. It's amazing. You will have a great time. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm doing all right. DePaul got its first Big East win last night, so I'm very excited.
I saw that. But I will say, ring out a Hoya from the game that you mentioned from earlier this week.
It's the truth. It is very much the truth. So look, let me ask you about the Bears first, and then we can kind of zoom out to the NFL. You covered the Bears for a really long time. Now that you're looking at things from a national perspective, how did you take the press conference that went down on Monday?
It wasn't quite as well. I'm trying to think if it was as bad as the collaboration press conference from last year, or if it was a little bit less bad. Pretty comparable, I would say. Somebody made the pointed out that you've got two franchises that are long time owned by family members. Whether it's in the Giants and the Bears, and it seems as if they have gone down very similar paths, and you can't help but wonder if it's because they're almost too close to it. David Haw, I think it was, wrote a great column basically saying that, George McCaskey he's basically every other fan. That's at least what he sounded like in the press conference. And he said that, I'm a fan. I'm not a football evaluator. Well, if that's the case, then get yourself out of that position. Let somebody else do the hiring and the firing of the general managers and the coaches, preferably a person with football knowledge. But as long as you have people who are running these franchises from a personal standpoint and not a football standpoint, I think you're just, you're running in circles. And all I could think of as I was listening to that press conference was, how many years before we're back here doing the same thing? And, I'm not a Bears fan. I've covered the team. I've lived in the city for decades. I feel bad for people who are Bears fans, because I don't know that whoever is hired is going to make a material difference given who owns the team.
What I thought was so interesting about Monday, and had they asked me, not that they would because they hate me, but had they asked me, I would have told them to not do that press conference on Monday. I would have told them to do it on Tuesday for a lot of reasons, including the fact that in the period of time from when it was announced that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were fired up until George opened the press conference with Ted is on the call, Bears fans were in a great place. They were like, okay, we feel like we are seen by ownership. And it's a small thing, and I understand that I'm talking about the scheduling of a press conference, but it's stuff like that that makes me wonder, do they take any of that into account of how they're perceived and how they could work towards being perceived differently? Yes, it's mostly about whether or not the team wins or loses, but if you don't have that, if you don't have the winning record, there are ways to make yourself look like you know what you're doing. And they continue to struggle to look like they know what they're doing.
I think that is a great point. I saw that with many people who said, you know, Monday morning, I felt like I had some hope. And by Monday afternoon, it was gone. And, especially the thing that just I can't wrap my head around the fact is they're planning on building this, you know, Taj Mahal out in Arlington Heights. We'll see if it actually happens. But you're going to need people to go there. And, you know, if you've got 4 or 5 more years of this, will people? You know, I'm sure there'll be people who will for the excitement factor and the novelty factor. But how many people in the meantime are you driving off forever? You know, I saw that from a couple other Bears fans who said, I'm done. I'm not going to switch allegiances, but I'm not going to give this team my heart and my attention anymore. And that is a really, really dangerous place to be.
Nancy Armour covers the NFL for USA Today. She's incredible. You should be reading her stuff because you know that when she's talking about the Bears, she knows of what she speaks because she has covered it. But outside of that, Nancy's doing a great job of doing some heavy lifting when it comes to NFL stuff. So please check out her work on USA Today. One more thing about the Bears, and then we can move on to some of the bigger picture issues. What did you think the failing of the Pace-Nagy connection or collaboration was?
Oh, I think there were many. I'm not sure that Pace ever got the right people. And I'm not talking necessarily about the coach, but you know, you're the one place that you have to succeed when you're either signing or drafting somebody is with a quarterback. And, you know, what Pace swung and whiffed on six different people, five different. And I guess Justin Fields' verdict is still out. And, you know, if you're, I think that there, the question about to George McCaskey about, you know, Nagy going to him and asking him about Justin Fields, I think that showed how much confidence Nagy had lost in himself. And, you know, I think a lot of people can look really good if you've got Patrick Mahomes, which, and, you know, when Nagy was hired, that's what everybody looked at. It was like, okay, great. This is a guy who can develop a quarterback. But if you're having talent that's not at that level and it's not working out, it's going to ruin anybody's confidence, I think. So I think the failure of getting the right quarterback, whether it's your starting quarterback, the backups, all of it, I think that was just, those were holes that, you know, Pace dug them to begin with, and they just got to be too big for him and Nagy to ever get out of. And I think, you know, it didn't matter what else they did. If you're wrong on that position, you're not going to be right on anything else.
You wrote a column that is available for people today, usatoday.com, if you want to check it out. We have now somehow ended up in a place where there's one black coach in the NFL, and it's Mike Tomlin, who went a long way to keeping his name out of people's mouths about maybe being replaced with the way that the Steelers finished the season and now find themselves in the playoffs. How did we get here?
I don't know. And if you read the column, you can probably tell I was very, very, very fired up yesterday. This is the same number of black coaches that we had in 1993. It's the same number of coaches of color that there were in 2003 when the Rooney Rule was implemented. How in 2022, with the volume of talented black and brown assistants, and I'm not even going to say men anymore because we've got some talented women out there, how do you only have one black man and three men of color? I mean, it cannot be anything but deliberate at this point. Because if you look at the guys who have been hired, if you look at the guys who have been, you know, passed over for some of those hires, it makes no sense. I mean, Eric Bieniemy, that man should have a job at this point. If Eric Bieniemy was a white man, he would have been hired probably two seasons ago, certainly last season. Byron Leftwich didn't even get an interview last year after, you know, guiding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yeah, he has Tom Brady, but he made Tom Brady look really good with some things that he was doing too. So it's, and there are plenty of other guys out there beyond those two, but you cannot look at those two in particular and tell me that the NFL does not have a race problem when those two gentlemen don't have head coaching jobs. You just can't.
I feel like if we were to do like a super deep dive on this, that there was this run on the, that there was a homogenous run on coaches that were alike. Obviously, when I say homogenous, where it was the up and coming offensive genius. And
yep.
Everyone was trying to find their McVay.
Yep.
And so you saw people just jump, well, oh, okay, well, the Matt Nagy seems like that he could be that or whomever. And because of it, you ended up in this place where the archetype for the hiring in NFL circles became kind of these young white wunderkinds versus taking a more – and I'm talking about like even a guy like that we both covered, even a guy like Dave Tobe, now yeah. sees himself not in the process of getting head coaching opportunities because a lot of these teams were looking for coaches to fix their problems, meaning their offense, instead of trying to find the best leaders that they could find.
Yeah, and the homogeneity, if that's a word, I don't know. One of my colleagues pointed this out yesterday, Tom Shad. There are three NFL head coaches with the name Sean. There are three white coaches with the name Sean, two white coaches with the name Mike, and two white coaches with the name Matt. There's one black head coach. I mean, so it's like, you're right. They're, you know, everybody's trying to find the same Sean McVay. And now it's probably going to be the same Matt LaFleur. But you're right. You've got to find the best person for your situation, which that is the only thing that I will say that I think the Bears are doing a good job with is that they have, you know, McCaskey said that they will look at the best person. It doesn't matter if they're coming from an offensive background, defensive background, special teams. They want the best coach. There's so many things that factor into success, but if you're just looking for the same guy, you know, the imitations are never as good as the originals, and we've seen that happen.
I agree with you about the Bears, like, casting a wide net on GM and head coach. I'm glad to see that they're doing that, and maybe they will allow themselves to be wowed by someone who they didn't think would rise to the level of offering the job to. I do have some questions about all of this stuff, and I look at it clearly from the perspective of a black man and knowing some of the situations that I've been put in career-wise. I wonder, from your point of view, when you start to hear women coaches or women GM prospects, yeah. when you start to hear their names be lobbied about, I hear the laugh there. Like, do you want these women to go on these interviews? And how high is your concern that they are just checking off a box by bringing women into this space?
I think, first of all, I will say, I think it's great that there have been all of these increased opportunities for women in the sport. It's tremendous. That said, yes, I do worry about the whole, you know, the idea of it just being a box checked. I also worry, and this is what really kicked me off yesterday, was the NFL using women as a way to say, oh, we're inclusive, we're diverse. No, you're not. And, you know, just because you're interviewing a woman, even if you hire a woman, it does not make you diverse and inclusive. It you know, you're still not looking at the quality of somebody beyond, you know, you're looking at the quality, you're looking at the color of somebody's skin rather than the quality of the person. So I worry about the box checking, and I don't want to see women used as another way to marginalize quality candidates of color.
It's such a weird thing, because obviously, like, to get to the point where you get put in an interview, and as a minority candidate, you sit there and you think, you know what, if I'm given a fair opportunity, I can win this job. And I wonder if anyone who's interviewing for some of these GM and head coaching positions, if they feel like they've done enough to not only warrant the interview, but warrant getting the job. But I also wonder if the NFL can look at what's happening with Bruce Arians. And look, Bruce has got some issues of his own. But when I look at his staff, I look at his staff and I go, wow, it's a little bit of everything. Like, he's got a little bit of everything on his staff, and his team is winning. Like, they won the Super Bowl. And I don't understand why, and maybe you're right, maybe the Bears are starting to move in that direction, and that would be wonderful if that were the case, that the NFL, like, writ large isn't looking at that and being like, perhaps if we widen our circle of influence, we might be able to land in a similar place where we are successful and making it so that it's something for everyone who loves this game.
I could not agree with you more. And I was really hopeful last year that the success of the Buccaneers would make some of the owners think differently, expand their circle, because I don't know that all of them are, you know, racist, but we all have implicit biases. And that is the thing that's not addressed, that's, you know, when you are bringing in a candidate, somebody who looks like you, you know, are you automatically more comfortable? So therefore you're thinking that person is going to do a better job than somebody who comes in who looks different than you do. Those are the things that you have to be conscious of, and you have to not let guide you. And unfortunately, that's not happening. So I was hopeful that that would be the case with the Buccaneers, that people would look at Bruce's staff and go, yeah, wow, you know, maybe we should be thinking differently. And maybe that will be the case. You know, you look at some of the candidates that there are this year, it's not, you know, I was gritting my teeth the first day when, you know, I was seeing all this stuff about, you know, Bill O'Brien and Doug Peterson are getting interviews and they're the favorites for this job and this job. Not to say that they might not do well, but it's like, take a chance, look at somebody outside the box, because you might find a diamond in the rough, and then everybody else is going to be like, wait a minute, how can we get that person? So,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you might find your Mike Tomlin and,
right,
and
exactly.
You could have all sorts of stability going forward. Nancy, as always, I love talking with you. I love when you have time for this show. I think that you do incredible work for USA Today, including the column about this very subject. Thank you for always being available for my show. I really appreciate it.
Anytime for you.
That is Nancy Armour. She's great. Read her work at USA Today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.